And see where all this leads. Okay. All right, brother.
Good evening. Thank you for being here. I'm grateful to the Lord for being here. Without Him, I couldn't be standing here today. There's no way. It's amazing to me to think about it all the time. It's been about a year. I'm not exactly sure the exact date. I wish I did. I can ask the Lord someday. but it was definitely in July of last year, 2020. My life changed dramatically in a good way. And hopefully my testimony today is edifying to you. Maybe make you aware of some of the dangers in the world. And so you can go warn others. And I just pray that this is edifying to you. All right, I'll be turning in the Bible today a lot, so just be ready. I'm going to follow the script because there's just so much going on, and by nature, I'm a troubleshooter, kind of a technical guy. So when I face a problem, my mind is in many different places at once, so I have to follow the script here. So I have so much to say about what led me to Christ. That's not to boast about how much I have to say, but to bring glory and thanks to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the things that led me to Him, His saving grace, and the things He has been doing for me and through me ever since. I could write page after page, and they cannot contain all the things that He has done for me. I don't have enough time to expose all the darkness and all the lies that so many people fall for, but I'm going to do what I can. Like I said, I can't write page after page because today I started with 8 pages and ended up with 11. So, I mean, I could just, at some point, I have to stop and just let the Lord lead me. So as a lost person, the world kept me in darkness for so long. The devil had me deep in his lies for 34 years. I turned 35 yesterday. So let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're going to read verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And basically, my testimony has to do with the devil's lies. My whole testimony has to do with lies, and the lies I've been told my whole life. I was condemned and didn't even know it. The devil kept me in darkness from such a young age, and that only by the power and grace of God I can stand here today and say I'm free from the devil, free from sin, free from hell, free from death, and have come to know the truth and come to know the Lord. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to read verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. By the wonderful grace of God, I'm here today able to tell you that sin runs deep in the lost world, maybe deeper than you have ever known personally, much deeper than I can know. Sin is disguised as harmless fun. Sin is disguised in ways we are unaware of. The devil goes as far as disguising sin as good. And we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 5. I love nothing more than reading the Bible. So. Isaiah chapter 5, we're going to read verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I don't know about you, but what I see in this world we live in today is it's only getting worse and worse by the minute. And now that I'm saved, I can see sin everywhere and everything. It's in advertisements. Pastor preached on that recently. It's in advertisements. It's on bumper stickers in workplaces. It's in schools. It's in churches. It's on even lunch menus. I had lunch recently with Dawn, and I saw foul language all over the menu. It's on lunch menus. It's hidden in everyday conversation. Sin is a disease that goes unnoticed, undetected by the world and by lost sinners. The devil has a way of keeping the lost, distracted for so long that many people never come to know the truth. It is a sad thing to know that during my short 35 years here in the world, well, 34, that I never heard the truth until last year. I heard nothing but lies my whole life, and the devil implants his lies into everything. Now that I know the truth, have the truth in my hands. The truth in my hands. And have the indwelling Holy Spirit, I can see right through the devil's lies. Before coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was totally blind and didn't even know it. Deep down, I knew something was wrong with this world, but I couldn't explain it. Early on, I was seeking a way to explain it, but since I couldn't explain it, I did what I could to suppress it. To distract myself long enough to get through this life, I oftentimes distracted myself with alcohol, sometimes with drugs, other times it was music, television, and social media. But the main and number one thing that ruled my life was video games. And man, did I love to play those video games. And if you don't know how the devil uses video games to distract young people and even older folks, to draw them into the occult, to draw them into darkness, you should be careful and warn others. I spent my entire life inside one video game or another, inside one hobby or another, something to keep me distracted from facing the reality, from facing the truth. We're going to turn back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to read verse 32, John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My early childhood years, I'm going into my childhood largely in hopes that this part of the testimony helps parents understand their great role in protecting their children from the devil. In my childhood, I was not fortunate to have parents, grandparents, or anyone that knew the Lord. My mother was not in my life from 3 years old onward. When you're a child, the things your parents do and also what they don't do stay with you for a very, very long time. Sometime in the early 90s, my dad would send me off to some Baptist church in Jacksonville. I don't know the name or even where it was, but I do remember getting on that bus and some guy handing us candy and singing some songs. One day at the church, I remember I was standing in line waiting for my turn to do something I didn't understand. I must have been around 6 years old. I was told to put my hand on the Bible and repeat after the woman, saying, "I accept Jesus into my heart." I had no idea what I was saying or what any of that meant. There was no mention of sin. There was no mention of his shed blood for me on the cross. There was no mention of his death, burial, and resurrection. Just that, "Do I accept Jesus into my heart?" I was a respectful child and went along with it and said yes. Then someone from that church shortly after took me to his house to baptize me in his pool. Again, I had no idea what I was doing and just going along with everything. Wolves are everywhere, and you should protect your children from them. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." From early on, I can remember that Christianity was just another religion in the world. I can remember any time my dad talked about God or religion, he would claim he's a Presbyterian. And I put that in quotes. Like that meant something. I can only remember him going to church once or twice, and it was to the same Baptist church. I later found out from my dad that he sent me off to church just to get the children out of the house and so he could be alone with his wife, which was my first stepmother. He would ask what did I learn or do at the church, and since it was all so foreign to me, I told him I didn't know, and I just got some candy. I can recall at some point I must have gotten into trouble, and as a punishment for hours and hours, my dad would make me read and reread along this heavy illustrated book of the Old Testament, stories like eating an apple from the tree, Cain and Abel, Noah's Ark, and the story of David and Goliath, because I didn't know anyone that was saved, or I didn't even know anything about salvation, and because this book was used as a punishment, I ended up hating that book. But one thing I remember at the time, I would question why was everyone telling me Adam and Eve ate an apple when the Bible says fruit? No one could give me an honest answer. From early on, I was seeking the truth, but I was being told lies everywhere. I eventually let the world, I let the devil get a hold of me. I let my guard down. Before high school, my dad remarried, and I'm on stepmother number two. She is Jewish by birth, and I never saw her practice Judaism. We would celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah, so I continued to think Christianity was just another religion among religions like Judaism in the world. This stepmother had an older son who exposed me to science and philosophy, I put that in quotations, and we would have countless talks about whether God exists, about evolution, and other religious topics. We just have debates, just friendly debates. He was an older brother. Fast forward to freshman year in high school, I met a Jehovah's Witness who was my classmate and who became my close friend. We spent a lot of time playing basketball, playing chess, and talking a lot. He would give me those Watchtower flyers, and I remember being amazed by the things he was telling me. Now, I met this guy in freshman year, so he became a close friend for 4 years. So we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. He had an answer for every question I had about God, or his God. And I thought he was telling me the truth. Here is some guy in a cult answering all my questions, but many who call themselves Christians that I ran into throughout my whole life could not answer anything. What's wrong with that picture? I can see why people get drawn into that cult. And with no help, I started believing their lies. At some point, he invited me to his congregation so I could check it out for myself. I wanted to know more, and I wanted to know the truth. So, as a good, respectful kid, I asked my dad for permission to go. My dad and Jewish stepmother both laughed hysterically at me, rightfully so, but they also called me a heathen. I didn't even know what that meant. I was told to tell my friend that I'm a heathen and cannot go to his cult. That is not something you should tell your child. Though I am thankful today that I never went, because I now know the lies of their false teachings, their heresies, and that they are a cult, but I still was not getting the help and direction I needed. So we're going to turn to Acts chapter 5. There's a good ending to this testimony, I promise. Acts chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 42. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Why is it many of today's Christians won't teach and preach Jesus Christ? We don't all need to stand here in the pulpit and preach the gospel, but we should be striving to reach the lost as much as possible. Onward to the sophomore year of high school, I was exposed to Islam. That year was the year of the 9/11, September 11 attacks on our country. I don't know anything about, or I didn't know anything about Islam at the time, but later I remember people talking about the terrorists and that they were from Islamic countries, and so I wanted nothing to do with that religion. I couldn't make sense of any of it, and just knew the truth cannot be with the people hijacking airplanes and murdering all those people. Sometime before I left high school, I got tired of seeking the truth, and I just gave up. There was so much hurt and anger building up that I just turned away from seeking God. I was fed up. I was done. I left that all behind and started telling people I was an atheist. It was just easier for me to pretend that God didn't exist than to seek him out. Because up to this point, I'm in my late teens, and I've been trying to find the truth. The amount of hate I received for saying I don't believe in God made my heart cold and angry, because here I was seeking the truth, and I can't seem to find it And now that I'm an atheist, people hated me, which is the opposite of today. Atheists are loved by the world today. I told people enough times that I did not believe God exists, that I believed it. My heart was cold and hardened for the next 20 years. And turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 through 7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This describes many of the things I used to be. Proud, lover of my own self. Just ask my wife how great I used to think I am. Unthankful, never giving thanks to anything. Lover of pleasures. I love the world. I loved and hated it at the same time. I was always learning something from the world that the world was offering, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So seeking truth in the wrong places. Young adult years. After high school, I went off to Air Force basic training in 2004. They let you go out to Sunday to attend religious services for about an hour or so. Most of the people in my unit went to something, and there wasn't a rule about having to attend the same service every week, so I went. I went to a Catholic Mass. I went to a Wiccan pagan ritual. I went to a Buddhist gathering, and so on. Even though I gave up seeking the truth, I did not find any truth there. I continue claiming to be an atheist. My second Air Force school, I even went to a New Age occult Wiccan gathering where I participated in rune readings and tarot readings. I went once or twice, but instead of me practicing the occult and rituals or practice, it just ended up driving me into the occult in other ways, which we'll see. So we're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Chapter 18, I'm going to read verse 9 through 12. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. All right. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. I was very passionate about my hobbies. It all started with a game that came out in 1996. I was 10 years old. It's called Diablo. Then came a game in 2000. Just 4 short years later, I was 14, called Diablo 2. In 2001, Diablo 2, Lord of Destruction. If you don't know what Diablo means, it means devil in Spanish. The people who created these evil games are the same people behind the phenomenon known as World of Warcraft, which is such a big game that I guarantee you that you know someone who has either mentioned it or played it. And guess what they're releasing later this year? Diablo 2 Resurrected. Can you see what they did there? And millions of people have already pre-ordered this game. These games have won Guinness World Records for number of players and copies sold in the millions. In these games are druids, necromancers, sorcerers, enchantresses, familiar spirits, wizards, all the things that the Lord hates. I won't go into it, but I can name game after game, show after show, movie after movie that idolize all of these things and tricks you into believing these things are just innocent and just make-believe. When I say the world is blind to what the devil has influence over, I mean it. They are in total darkness. And think it's just fun and games. If you think this is just a small portion of the world that plays these types of games, you're wrong. Just open your iPhone and look at the App Store. Under the game section, it's always loaded with magic, sorcery, and witchcraft. Think of the untold millions and even a billion at this point that lose themselves in games like these. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there which go in thereat. Many of these people play these games thinking it's innocent fun, but they're on that wide, destructive path. By the time I reach my young adult years, I have probably spent tens of thousands of hours inside of video games. But I was also watching occultic TV shows, cartoons, playing a game called Pokemon, which all of you have heard. If you don't know what Pokemon stands for, it means pocket monsters. And they have magic and dragons. I was playing Magic the Gathering card games, reading comic books, and so on. I remember loving dragons. I absolutely loved dragons before I was saved. Devils, demons, mythical creatures, black magic and white magic. Witchcraft and sorcery, and always thought they were just something people enjoyed and that it was all harmless. I'm here to tell you it's not harmless. The world is full of occultism, and many don't even know it. When I was an atheist, it's really easy to believe the lie when you have never been told the truth. I thought that all of it, that life itself, was just innocent fun. That life was meant to be here just for fun and to do whatever you wanted to do while you're here. That we're here for a short amount of time and that there's no meaning to any of it, so just have fun with what makes you happy. I got so deep into that world that I believed all the lies for so long, that magic and the like is real. I remember wishing and fantasizing for it to be real, but the devil is so subtle that he tricks you into believing that it's not real. But the Bible tells us that these things are an abomination to the Lord and drive these things out. On a side note here, I talked to a friend of mine who's deep into this stuff as well. I always ask him, why do you think all the game developers, movie creators, all the TV show creators always go back to magic and sorcery? They can't come up with anything else. I mean, from Deuteronomy, the Lord is saying it's bad. It's an abomination. I even regrettably got a few tattoos, and this is the hard part to tell you guys. I even regrettably got a few tattoos on my forearm in 2008. It's written in Japanese, and I got it while I was stationed in Japan. The Japanese people have this fascination with something they call the God of Death and the Angel of Death. Western culture has popularized these terms as the Grim Reaper, but their fascination with this creature is deep in their culture. Me being so entrenched in my sins and in love with the Japanese culture, I got these terms tattooed on my arm. And I would use it to remind myself that God does not exist, and that if he did exist, he was evil for creating death. I was ashamed of telling people what it meant to me because I would be judged, and rightfully so. I was so arrogant, so blind, so foolish. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're going to go a few pages over to chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One more, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. God is not the God of death. God is pure, righteous, and just. And through Jesus Christ, he gives life. Fast forward 11 more years of living in darkness to the tail end of 2019, before COVID hit the world. I came across the podcast on arguments for God. All I have ever heard were arguments against God. I wonder why that is. The world itself is against God, so I believe the world. But this guy, Ed Fazer, on Ben Shapiro's podcast, was arguing for why a creator must exist. Not for why one could exist, but why he must exist. Logically, all his arguments were making sense. All those memories spent in childhood seeking the truth came back to me. Within a month or two, my wife and I started looking for a church. We settled on a Southern Baptist Convention church. We almost decided to go to a Catholic church before that. I thought I was going to find truth in religion and in church again. I was headed for destruction again, but the Lord did not lead me astray. After a few months of attending church regularly, I heard sermons on how to be a better person, reconciling relationships with friends and family, and how to be more of a service to the church. The sermons had a lot of verses from a lot of different versions of the Bible, but mostly NIV, ESV. But it seemed like he was picking what fit his sermon the best at the time and catering to everyone. I didn't quite know anything about Jesus Christ other than that he died on a cross and the gospel was never preached from the pulpit. The people in the congregation were nice, but looking back, they never talked about the Lord. I asked the pastor there for a one-on-one meeting to talk. I could feel something within me that stirred to find the truth again. The pastor wanted to talk Armenian theology over Baptist theology. I wanted truth, not theology. He told me he was an Arminian and that on his application to be their pastor, he told them he is not Baptist. I had no idea there are pastors out there for hire. Then he told me he believed every dead person right now is in a waiting room to be judged to go either heaven or hell. This was the first time I have ever heard someone tell me they believe that. I've seen it mocked on TV shows, but I've never heard anyone actually say they believe that. I asked him if he would preach about that or hell, and he was thrown aback, saying, "I would never preach that from the pulpit." That was a huge red flag for me. Shortly after that meeting, I left their church. Never became members, I just walked out. I left their church because then I also started questioning the Bible again. I had an ESV Bible at the time, and I was discovering that there are verses taken out. I would read and see verse numbers just skip and thought, that can't be right. And in the footnotes, it has the verse, but then says manuscripts dispute the authenticity of this verse. That's as deceptive as it comes. And I was losing interest again. I was getting angry again. I'm being lied to, and I just want the truth. Why are there so many lies in this world? Isn't it sad that I haven't been given the gospel yet? At this point, I'm 34 and never heard the gospel. I mean, truly heard it. I heard about Jesus and him dying on a cross, but never really understood why, never made it personal. The world failed me. People failed me. Do you know how many people I have met in the military that claim to be Christians but not once talk about Jesus Christ? I have met countless people who believed in God. Some that believe just in case and supposed Christians, but then never preach or share the gospel with others. But you know who didn't fail me? You know who hasn't ever failed me? The Lord Jesus Christ has never failed me. Please turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. During the summer of 2020, around May or June, for the first time in my life, I've been watching street preachers. Just recap. May, June, 2020. For the first time in my life, I've been watching street preachers preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Toronto, Israel, Louisiana, and Seattle. This was all done on YouTube. They were saying things like, wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus saves. Repent and believe the gospel, for God so loved the world, and things that you're going, like you're going to hell. They would say all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. They would speak out against sin. I would remember hearing these words and feel something inside moving. But still, none of it made any sense to me. I was so tired of being lied to that I didn't even know if that was the truth. But you know what? We're going to turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Thank you for being patient with me. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 17. Should be a familiar verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Around July 2020, I started following more of the riots in our country. The hostile takeovers, the communists, the Marxists taking control, cancel culture, and all the political propaganda that was spreading throughout the news. And I came across a short YouTube video of a few police officers dealing with a protester. It starts out with a white officer arguing with a young white lady that is calling him a racist. The officer says he's married to a black woman. I sat there thinking how ridiculous she sounds. Several of the other officers behind him were black, and they were going back and forth with the protester also. After a minute or so of back and forth shouting, this one police officer in the back steps up boldly and tells her the truth I've never understood before this moment. And I'm going to quote here. I'll tell you when to end quote. Quote, let me tell you something, he says. America has a sin problem. The world has a sin problem, ma'am. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he continues to say, America and the world has a sin problem. You understand me? That's where racism, injustice, hate, and anger, and violence come from. It's not about racism. Read the Bible, he finishes, end quote. In that moment, I just heard something so foreign to me. It's not about racism, he says. Sin is the problem. Like it's some kind of disease. Sin is where all the hate, anger, and violence come from, he says. I thought people just got angry. And there's always people hating each other. But read the Bible, he proclaims. What in the world is this I'm hearing? I sat there thinking, how could he say that Jesus is the truth? How can someone be the truth? The way? The way to what? How can Jesus be the life? What is he talking about? After many hours of sitting there alone, and in much frustration, I was thinking about it. I came to realize exactly what he was talking about, what all those street preachers were talking about. It hit me like a brick wall, that sin is the problem of the world. Remember I said early on that I knew something was wrong in the world, but I couldn't explain it? It explains everything. Why I've been lied to, why I've been wronged, why I feel so angry and hatred. And it explains all the death. It explains why we are separated from God. It explains all that is wrong in the world. Then I realized I'm a sinner in this world, just like the rest of the people here. Then I start thinking about all my sins, and I'm here to tell you, I was deep in the pit of sin. I broke down in tears and cried and cried. But then I thought back to all those preachers giving out the gospel and realized John 3:16 through 18, which we'll read in a minute, was the truth. And we'll turn to Romans. Oh, no, we already read that. And Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, was the truth. That Jesus Christ came to give life to save sinners like me, to grant me everlasting life through him. I realize that I can't be saved by a church, a building, any person, by works, by rituals, by theology, or anything else of this world. I need Jesus Christ. I cried out in those moments to Jesus, my Savior, cried out to him to save me from sin, from death, from this world, from hell, from all the lies, from all of it. In those moments, I placed all my trust in him and what he did for me on the cross, being beaten and tortured and humiliated and shamed for me. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin, I should be put to death for my sins. I should be on that cross paying the price for my sins. I deserve much worse. But he did it all, so I don't have to. I don't have to do anything. That it is a gift. It is of grace alone. I don't deserve that kind of mercy and grace, his mercy or his grace. But Jesus Christ gave his life for me, shed his precious blood, sinless blood for me. He died for me and rose from the dead for me. All for me. I turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I was condemned already and didn't know it. But as soon as I understood sin was the problem, I quickly realized I needed a solution. I saw problems all day, every day, from the time I was in the military to now in IT. But this time, it was a problem I couldn't do anything to solve. It was a gift. It was by grace alone. Salvation happened so suddenly and instantly when the Lord saved me. I spent the next couple of weeks or months, I don't know, hating all the things I wasted my life on. All those simple things I loved, I now hated. I wouldn't even go into my office, which had all those things in it. At some point, I got so angry with sin, I destroyed some things. I even remember taking an axe to the Amazon Fire TV. I needed to purge this stuff from my life because I'm not part of this world anymore. I wanted to get to know the Lord more. I now know that Jesus is the truth and that the Bible contains the truth, but I needed to know what I was reading was the truth. I spent an exhaustive amount of time looking into which version of the Bible contained the complete truth. Not some verses taken out and put into the footnotes, not words that have been changed over time, not removing the blood of Christ. I came across many resources that could have led me into more lies, but I prayed and prayed about it, and the Lord showed me resources that the truth is out there and proved the King James Bible has the full truth of God's preserved word. Nothing taken out, nothing added. As soon as I was shown the truth of God's preserved word, I just started believing every word written in the Bible. Praise the Lord for preserving his word. I know I would be lost without it. After salvation, I was changed from the inside. All that hatred, bitterness, anger, and pride was put away. And I worried about people I knew that do not know the Lord. On the outside, I put away all the things I used to love, all the things that made me happy, all the things that kept me lost. I wanted no part in those things anymore. Right after salvation, I was shown this verse, which really put the reality of what was occurring into perspective. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll read verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Right away, I asked the Lord to open doors for me to share the gospel with others, and I was not prepared for what was to come. I didn't even have any verses memorized yet, and there is so much to learn. I know I must have sounded like a lunatic to some of my friends or family, but I didn't care, because I wanted to see them saved. I spent months looking for a church, not just any local church, but one that believes in the Bible and only teaches from the Bible. I only wanted to hear from God's word from then on. The Lord led me and my wife right past all the churches along the way here to hear directly from God's word, to fellowship with people, like-minded believers, where we get to sing old hymns and that contain doctrine straight out of the Bible, where the focus is on the Lord and not on money and not on the building. I am so blessed and so thankful to be here. He has opened many doors for me to share the gospel with my friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, strangers, and even the mailman. I absolutely love nothing more than talking about the Lord. I don't like talking about weather, sports, movies, TV shows, or anything else. I grow weary sometimes when it comes to the world and those I interact with that have rejected Christ. I grow weary living in a sinful, cursed world. But I look forward to the day that I get to spend eternity talking about the Lord and walking with Him and being with Him and never needing anything else. With the Holy Spirit guiding me in His Word, I'm seeing things that simply amaze me. I can see how the whole Bible points back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe all the promises contained within. I believe all the things to come. I believe every single word. I can know I have eternal life within weeks of salvation. The devil did not stop trying to lie to me. He made me doubt my salvation. And I remember asking my wife, how can we know we are saved? So we looked it up. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read verse 13. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Praise the Lord. I can use His Word to discern the lies of this world, like dragons, witchcraft, magic, infant baptism, performing rituals, confessing sins to a priest, work salvation, worshiping corruptible images and icons, exposing the lies of the Roman Catholic Church, like how the devil has control over the New Age Bible versions and these New Age churches. I can see all the lies now. I can see the truth so clearly now. There is no salvation in anything else, in none other, in nothing. Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The world wants us to create our own truth, whatever we want truth to be. Jesus Christ is the truth, and the world wants us to change Him to be what we want. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Since being saved, the world is always telling me to put the Bible away. That's like telling me to hide the truth, to put the truth away. I will not, and I shall not. I have been lied to for so long that I will not allow people to use lies against me. And the only way to defend against those lies in the world is attacking it with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I can see life so clearly now. 1 John chapter 5. I'm almost done. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I can see the life so clearly now. Praise the Lord. I truly cannot ever thank Him enough. I'll close with a couple of verses that gives me hope every day, that helps me go on to live in this sinful world, because I do grow weary of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That gives me great hope, great joy. Absolutely. I love it. Thank you guys for sticking it out. I know it was a long testimony. I thank the Lord for this opportunity. It's It's such a blessing. I love talking about the Lord and all the things He has done for me. And I pray to continue to do good work for Him and to please Him and live a life pleasing to Him and bring Him glory, because it's not about me. So thank you, guys.
A couple years ago, I was a nihilistic atheist who hated Christians. I thought God was for mindless sheep following decaying religions that served as opium for the masses. At least that's what the world told me. I'll give you a little background to explain how I ended up where I am now, one of the very people I just spoke of so negatively. I didn't go to church regularly until my cousin asked me to attend his church when I was around 12. I was baptized at the church, but looking back, I know I didn't quite understand salvation yet. Sometime in high school, I stopped going to church. My high school was a magnet school for the arts, and I was exposed to anti-Christian ideology regularly by staff and fellow students. One science teacher boldly told the class that you can't practice science and be a Christian. School wasn't the only place I was being bombarded with anti-Christian influence. I quickly became an angsty teenager. The dark state of my soul was reflected in my wardrobe. And you won't believe this from all the colors I wear now. But my wardrobe was 95% black, and I was listening to rock music that glorified sin. After high school, I went to massage school, which is where I was introduced to Eastern mysticism and New Age spirituality. New Age made me think that Christians were just not seeing the full picture of the spiritual world due to their own short-sightedness and need to control others. I thought that I had progressed beyond that and was discovering spiritual knowledge that Christians were just too closed-minded to see. I spent my 20s living in the moment, going to clubs, working as a massage therapist, drinking and smoking weed on occasion with my friends, with no real purpose in life. I was navigating my way through life without hearing about the gospel from anyone. It took almost no effort to avoid it. I met my now husband, James, in my late 20s, and he did something that few people in my life had ever done. He questioned my worldview. I made a statement about feminism once to him, and he asked me if it really was true. And I said, of course, everyone knows that. But after that interaction, I started questioning some of the things that I had learned from society. What else had I accepted that wasn't true? By 30, I decided God didn't exist, and that when you die, you just become worm food. I believed life was meaningless, and that I was just a bag of biological stuff walking around on a big rock. I became nihilistic, deeply depressed, full of confusion and anger towards the injustice and ignorance I was seeing in society. A few years later, James was also an atheist at the time, did an unexpected thing. While in a bookstore, I saw him pick up a Bible. I laughed at him and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I don't know, just checking it out." Then he purchased it and took it home. I didn't mention it much after that. A few months later, we were watching Ben Shapiro's show. I guess he watched the podcast first, and then we watched it together, the show. It was called The Sunday Special. The guest was presenting logical arguments for the existence of God, arguments that I had never heard before. They weren't the arguments of mindless sheep. They were actually pretty convincing. One day, a coworker, a nurse named Tracy at the hospital I was working at, someone who happens to attend this church, struck up a conversation with me about God, which led to a few long conversations over multiple days. I listened to her and rebutted a lot of what she was saying with a condescending attitude, but she was very patient and didn't give up. During one of our conversations, she told me that it was great that I'm willing to entertain the concept of God, but I should really be worried about my soul. I didn't become a believer that day, but it did get me thinking. After that, I started thinking more about the existence of a creator, and I took an interest in the Bible after a psychologist and writer named Jordan Peterson, who I believe to be an agnostic, recognized it as the greatest work of literature of all time and said it's worth reading. I started reading the Bible, and other books paled in comparison to the complexity I found in the Bible and how it's structured. How could this book have been concocted by humans? I also watched YouTube videos on apologetics with James, and we would discuss them afterwards. Sometimes we had heated arguments. But I'm very thankful for them because he helped lead me to salvation. I was becoming more and more convinced of the existence of God. I also started going to a local Baptist church where I joined a woman's Bible study group so I could learn more about God. James started going too after I went a few times. Through the process of studying the Bible, I was amazed and moved by the interactions God has with his creation and impressed by how perfect he is the more I learned about him. The way the world is started to make more sense, and I wasn't so confused anymore. I was starting to see through the spiritual propaganda that had been constantly pushed on me my whole life and that I had just accepted. I had been the mindless sheep all along. One night, almost a year ago, I had a discussion with James about salvation and how it's a gift. That night, I understood that I was a condemned sinner before God, who is righteous and just, yet merciful, and that I needed his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the debt for my sin and make it right. So I accepted his gracious gift of eternal life with him and made the decision to give my life to him. We can die at any time. Safety is an illusion. When I worked in the emergency department, I saw people full of life, talking, fully aware one moment and gone the next. I don't know the statistics, but from personal experience, it's not like the TV shows where medical staff just bring you back all, you know, most of the time. I rarely saw people revived, and that's not a knock on the skills of the staff necessarily. Resuscitation can just be difficult depending on the cause. What I'm trying to say is I'm glad I was saved before it's too late for me to even be capable of making that decision. I just want to thank all of you for your patience with me as a new believer, as I'm still learning and growing, and for listening to me today. I'm so thankful I found a church where the true word of God is taught and the gospel is told regularly. I pray we will continue to have the freedom in this country to do so. And I just wanted to thank the Lord for saving me. And I'm going to leave you with three verses. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Thank you.